1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." What if we truly gave God our 100%? What could be on the other side of giving God our 100%? Now the word with Pastor Paul.
Last week, we looked at, let's read the text, John chapter 21, verse 15. He says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Judah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Judah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Judah, or Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, 'Do you love him? Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you gathered yourself and walk where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will get you and carry you where you do not wish." Amen. God bless the reading of his word. So last week, I'll catch you up to speed where we were last week, and then we'll continue. Now, you have to think about Peter. Peter was one of the closest followers of Jesus Christ. And the first time that he encountered Jesus Christ was in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was preaching and he asked Peter for his boat to preach in. And then he allowed Jesus to do that. And then after that, Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And so Peter walked very close with Jesus Christ when Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration. It seemed that Peter, James, and John formed a closer relationship and walked with Jesus than the rest of the disciples. So when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration before his crucifixion, Peter, James, and John were there. And then when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter was there as well. And before Jesus was crucified, he had told Peter that, before the rooster crows three times, you will betray me. Peter said, "No, everybody will leave you, everybody will betray you, but I won't." But he ended up betraying or denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And so last week we talked about the few verses leading up to this. Peter said he was going fishing, and the rest of the people decided that they were going to join him to go fishing. They fished and they didn't catch anything. Jesus appears on the scene and says, "Have you caught anything?" They said, "Nothing." And then he said, put your net on the right side. You will get something." They did, and they got a harvest of fish. And then Jesus made breakfast for them. Says, "Come and eat breakfast. You've been working so hard. You have nothing to show for your effort." And we talked about the fact that life without Jesus is like an empty boat. And when you decide to live your life without Jesus Christ, life is very empty. But when Jesus is in your boat, it makes all the difference. Or when you allow, when you decide to let Jesus come into your life, it makes all the difference in the world. Now, again, Peter, Jesus called him and said, "Your name is Simon, but today I'll start calling you Cephas, which means a rock." And if you observe his character traits, he was very fluctuating in his character. A reed is easily shaken by the wind. Jesus said, "I'm changing and transforming your life into a rock." But all throughout his life, you see him again going back and forth. A typical one is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Everybody was talking about, I mean, Jesus asked the question, who do people say I am? And everybody kept saying different things as to who they thought Jesus Christ was. But notice Simon Peter, his answer in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. So it says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, if you get to verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from me, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to him, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. In the same instance, he's saying that Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The very next few moments, he says, no, I'm not going to let you go and die. Jesus said, get thee behind me. He's switching. I'm sure some we know people like that. Not stable. But you see, this is not my main lesson. But let some of these side journeys help us. Verse 23 says, he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's very important. You see, how close can you get to Peter, can you get to Jesus than where Peter was? Obviously, Peter wasn't Satan, was he? No. He was standing right in the presence of Jesus, but unconsciously, he had yielded to Satan. You see, you can be in the presence of Jesus. You can even be a Christian. And so many times, what we find is people yield unconsciously to the enemy. But in Christ Jesus, he has given us authority that when people around us, yield to the enemy, we can say to the enemy, we can say to Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. I did this. You see, you can't go around saying get thee behind Satan to everyone you meet, everyone you meet on the street. Get thee behind me, Satan. No, that's not how it works. When people are in your presence or when people are very close to you, you have some leverage there. You have some authority there. So I did this for my sister, and you can do the same thing as well. You see, when people are bound by habits, when people are in bondage to the enemy, when people are bound, not most of the time, the enemy is behind it. So, if my sister is, I have three sisters. So, if you know any, they didn't know that I did it for them. If any of them is watching, they won't know. They won't know which one it was. But I saw my sister in a situation that she needed to get out of it. So what I did was, at that time, she I won't say where she was because then she'll figure it out. She was far away from she was far away, very thousands of miles away from me. And then I did this. Same thing that Jesus Christ did. I said, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, take your hands off my sister, and in Jesus' name, I take her out of this thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When I did that, from that standpoint, it was settled. It was done. I didn't think about it again. And within 2 weeks, she had come out of that circumstance that I had prayed for her. You see, we need to pray for people. Yes. And people need to, sometimes people are not there enough. I will get to that in the lesson. People are not where they can pray for themselves. And so you could do that. But the point here is, people can be in the presence of Jesus. You can be a Christian. Sometimes you can be Christians, but still be bound by the enemy or unconsciously yield to the enemy. Remember when Lazarus came from the grave, the Bible says that he was bound in grave clothes. So the person is born again, he's alive, but he's bound. What did Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. And this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, any form of captivity that you may be in, I decree and declare your liberty in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, that was I thought I'll just enjoy that, so I'll throw that in there. But that's not the main point of it. Let's go back to our friend Peter. Hallelujah. So he comes to Peter, and so Peter betrayed Jesus. So the first point I want to look at is Peter the traitor. And when Peter was following the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'm not going to betray you. But when it got when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, everybody ran, including Peter. And I'm sure at that point he remembered what Jesus Christ said. So he said, I'm going to go back and follow him a little closer. So he goes to where Jesus is being tried, and they ask him, do you know Jesus? A little girl meets him and said, I think I saw you with Jesus. Peter said, I don't know this man. I don't know what you're talking about. A little servant girl came and said, I think I saw you with Jesus. No, it's I don't know this person. I don't know who you are talking about. And then the third time, somebody said, your speech even betrays you. I think I saw you with Jesus. He began to swear and to care. I don't know this man. I don't know this person that you are talking about. But he got into problems because, notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse 64. It says, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. Let me dwell on that phrase. Peter followed at a distance. We get into problems when we follow Jesus at a distance. I'm going to follow you, but I'm not going to be too close to you. I'm not going to follow you closely. I'm not going to follow you fully. I'm going to follow you at a distance. At a distance. At a distance. I'm not going to be fully commit my life to you. I mean, you are driving a car and there's a bumper sticker on there that talks about Jesus or about somebody, about Jesus. And when somebody asks you, are you a Christian? He said, no, this car belongs to my sister. It's not mine. I don't know Jesus that you're talking about. Following Jesus at a distance. I can spend quite a bit on that. He followed Jesus at a distance. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that in this season, you will not follow him at a distance, but you will draw closer to the Lord than ever before.
Amen.
You see, the thing that God was working on all throughout the Old Testament was the fact that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, there was a separation came between God and man. And the thing that God really was really working on, and the reason why he sent Jesus Christ, was so that fellowship could be restored. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, God is faithful. Let's all say that this morning. God is faithful. Say it like you mean it, or say it like you believe it. God is faithful. Say it like you believe it again. God is faithful. Again, we can spend quite a bit of time there. People may be unfaithful. People that you think that they will do right, they will be faithful, may be unfaithful. But I can assure you this morning that we serve a God who is faithful. God is faithful. You can depend on God. You can trust the Lord. You can depend on Him. He will never let you down. God is faithful. But then he goes on to say, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That word there for fellowship in the Greek literally is koinonia. That talks about a close and an intimate walk with somebody. And that is what God was working on. He wants to have fellowship with you and I closer than even the people that you see from the natural standpoint. He wants to walk so close to you. I pray that your walk with God will go to another level in this season. Jesus will be more real to you than even the people that you live with. Amen. Let's go back to John chapter 21. So he comes to Peter, and Peter at that point, he feels that he's missed it. He feels that he's denied the Lord, and so that's it. And so many times, people get stuck on their past and dwell on their past. But Jesus comes to you, no matter where you are, and says, I have forgiven you. I want that relationship. I want to wash away your sins. I want to clear the sin issue out of the way so you and I can walk in step. You and I can walk closely. So he comes to him, and the first thing that he says to him, he says, go back to John chapter 21. Now, he says to him, verse 15, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And that's a question that we should all ask ourselves this morning. Do we love God? Do we love Jesus more than even the people in our lives? Do we love Jesus more than the blessings that he gives us? Do we love God more than the provision that he gives us? Do we love God more than our job? Do we love God more than that business? Do we love God more than the people that we see? You see, the key to success in life is to put God first. Is to love God first. But you see, when we read the English Bible, there are several Greek words in the original Greek where the Bible was written for love. So here, if you look at it deeper, you see when you look at the Bible on the surface and read it on the surface, sometimes you might miss what's there. The first question he asked him is, "Son of Jonah, do you love me more than this?" Jesus uses a word, agape, which is the love of your life, the God kind of love. Do you love me more than this? Peter responds, we read it as saying, yes, you know that I love you. But Peter responds with another word in the Greek, which is filial, which is the love that you have for a friend. So there's a difference there. Then the second time, he asks him again, do you love me? Jesus uses the word agape. He responds, Peter responds with filial. So the thing is, And then the third time he asked him again. You see, Peter betrayed him three times originally. Now Jesus wants to be sure. Where is your love? Then the third time, Jesus switches again. And when he says, do you love me? He switches and uses the same word that Peter uses, filio. Do you love me like a friend? Then Peter is uncomfortable. What is he trying to say? Maybe does he know more about me than I know myself? The first time that I said to him, when he asked me if I was going to deny him, I said I love him. I used the word agape. This time I'm not sure, so I'm just going to be safe and go with the word that indicates the love for a friend. And then Jesus switches it around again and said, "Do you love me like you love a friend?" And he said, "Hang on a minute. What's going on here?" Then he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." I pray that that will be our response. That was the response of Peter. That, Lord, we love you. And although I'm not sure about this whole thing, I will do the very best that I can. I would depend on your grace, because looking at Peter, one day he was a rock, the next day he was a reed. And he said, Lord, and in a way, he's not saying that, Lord, I depend on your grace to be able to do this thing. When I tried it the first time, it didn't work out so well. So now I am dependent fully on you. Then the third thing that Jesus Christ did for him, did in that instance, was that he gave him, let's go back there. The second point was Jesus forgave him. And it's like we discussed, I mean, how many of us will go to the extent to make breakfast for somebody that is betrayed and denied us? Jesus does that, and he wants us to walk in that kind of love. I'll come back to that point a little later here. But the third thing that he said to him was, every time that he answered, he gave him a mission. Jesus, who gives us a mission. There is nothing like anybody born into the earth without a plan of God for their lives. God has a good plan for each and every one of us. The first thing he said to him was, feed my lamb. See, lambs are people around us who are young in the faith, people who are not strong enough to stand on their own. He said, you feed them. Feed, if you love me, put your love into action. If you love me, do something. Then sheep are people who are a little bit more matured. You see, there is nothing like love without action. If you love me, put your love into action. Put your love into action. If you love me, put your love into action. Don't just love me with your mouth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says that. Let's go there. Thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. If you love me, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In our culture, we say talk is cheap. If you love me, put that love into action. Do something. Put that love into action. Don't just love in word. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. You know I love you. He said, put it into action. Put it into action. Feed my lamb. Before somebody can become a lamb of God, first they have to come in. There are so many people that are around us that are hurting, that we can share the love of God with them. That we can make a difference in their lives. Look for those opportunities. Every day you talk to people, people will start talking about this problem and that and that and that and that that they have. Tell them that Jesus is the answer to the problem that you are facing. Don't just love in word or in tongue only, but in truth. Romans 15, chapter 1, verse 8 says that we then that are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Very, very important. If you love God, put it into action. Okay, so going a step further, we normally, somebody will ask the question, what is the value of loving God? We have that mindset. What is it? What's in it for me? The first thing is, when you make a decision, you see, for you to experience God's best in life, everything else hangs on that. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Thank you, Lord. He said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Those teachers of the law came to him. The lawyers came to him and asked him a question. What is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this. It's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, all the promises, all the covenants, all the blessings, all that you ever see in life hangs on these two laws, on this particular law of love. That's what's in, well, that's what's in there for you. What is the greatest commandment? Love God with your all. All your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. My. The idea here is, you remember those old drying lines where you hung on your clothes? Back in the day? The drying line, that all the clothes hung on that drying line. That's the thought. All the promises, all the covenants, all the blessings hung on right there. Love the Lord with your all. Don't hold back. Yield your life totally to God. And then love your neighbor as yourself. That love question has to be settled. All the law and the prophet, on these two commandments hung all of them. Thank you, Lord. That's why you must love God. Everything, all your dreams, all your hopes, all your aspirations, it hangs on this law. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. My. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Thank you, Lord. He says, I like this. Thank you, Father. He says, but as it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who do what? I'm checking to see if you are here or you've checked out already. I has not seen, nor has the ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who do what?
Love him.
For those who do what?
Love him.
For those who do what?
Love him.
For those who do what? If you see somebody that loves God, you have not yet seen the glorious future of that person. And this morning, as you make an adjustment in your heart that I'm going to set my priorities right, I'm going to settle this love question, I can assure you, God has great things prepared for you. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I feel like running around this building. The psalmist said in Psalm 18, verse 1, I love you, Lord, with my strength. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 puts it this way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, there's a similar thought there as well. He says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Which is the bond of perfection. Again, the thought there is, like you have a curtain in your house and we tie it around with something to keep it in place. The bond of perfection. Put on that love. Put on that love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. The second reason why you must love God is that your faith depends on it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." We all want our faith to work and to produce results. He's saying that in Christ Jesus, there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. But faith working through love. That's how faith works. It's like the wheel to the car. Without love, your faith won't work. Number one, you believing that God loves you. And then number two, you loving God as well. And loving others. When you are not walking in love towards others, you step out so your faith won't work. Faith working through love. Jesus forgave Peter. And in the resurrection, he emphasized forgiveness as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says in John chapter 20, he referenced that as well, that it's so important to forgive others. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 20:22. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. If faith is not working, check the love area. Am I fully yielded to God? Am I fully yielded to God? Am I walking in forgiveness towards others? It will hinder faith quickly than anything else. You see, the God kind of love forgives. Check that. Faith working through love. Remember, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Let's go there. Without love, nothing works. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Notice what the Bible says. And we know that all things, how many things? How many things? How many things? How many is all? All means all? We all agree on that? Okay. how many of us want all things to work? Yeah, he tells you right here. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. How many things work? How many is all? All means all? Or all minus something? All means minus something is missing. If all things are not working, I'll check this area first. Faith working through love. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Settle the love question, things will begin to work. Is God first in my life? Where does God place on the list of priorities in my life? Put him first, then things will begin to work. All things work together for good to those who love God. It's similar to what he was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, neither has the ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love God. Oh, my Lord and my God, beginning from this morning, as I see you making an adjustment, may anything in your life that is not working begin to work in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Settle it. Who do you love? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 91, I'm giving us all this scripture. Don't let it get away from you. Psalm 91, verse 14. Psalm 91, verse 14. The next, God will deliver and work all things together for the good of those who love him. Psalm 91, verse 14. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. How many of us want God to deliver us? Oh, I need his deliverance every day. But because he has done what? You see, there are certain things that when you set your love on God, you don't have to pray for. He will deliver you. He says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Because he settled the love question. Because he loves me. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When the king was saying everyone should bow down to the image, these people said, they were a little different from Peter. They said, even if our God doesn't deliver us, we are not bowing. Yes. We are not bowing down to the image that you have set up. And in life, those who decide not to bow never bend. But if you compromise, at some point, the compromise will catch up. They said, oh, king, I'm summarizing it for us now. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. We are not going to bow down to you today or tomorrow. You can do whatever you want. We are not bowing. They went into the fire, and this verse, I'm not sure if they knew that then, but God delivered them. God delivered them. The king said, I see somebody else with them in the fire. In the mighty name of Jesus, no matter what you may be going through in this season, as you set your love on God, as you set your love on God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that may God deliver you. I said, may God deliver you. I said, may God deliver you. I said, may God deliver you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Settle it. If you are young, it's better do it now. Settle it. Lord, you are the love of my life. I live my life to please you. I will love you and serve you. Faith working through love. God will deliver those whose hearts are set on him, whose love are set on him. He will deliver them. See, like I said, life without Jesus is like an empty boat. Very empty. Very empty. But notice what the Bible says. Thank you, Lord. In Ephesians, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Notice this verse. I don't know if you've seen it in the Bible before. Ephesians 2:11. It says, therefore, remember, don't forget it, that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Remember, never forget that. That is what drives me, and that is what should drive us to reach out to others. But this moment, you may be watching, and you may be without, or you may be here and you are without. Maybe you are without good relationships. Maybe you are without finances. Maybe you are without health. There is something lacking or missing in your life. He says you are without. Thanks be to God, in Christ we are not without. And if you are without, today you can make that decision and start being with. Be getting the right company. If I were you, I'll get it in very quickly. Without Christ. You see, Christ is not the last name of Jesus. Christ means the anointed one. Amen. You see, we say Jesus Christ. Your name is John Smith, so Smith is your last name. So Christ is the last name of Jesus. If you said that to somebody in Greek, that's not what it meant to them. What it meant to them was, that word means the anointed one. What is he anointed to do? He's anointed for your deliverance. Wow. Amen. He's anointed for your deliverance. So if you are without Christ, you are without the anointed one. And not only that, you are without his anointing, the empowerment, the grace to succeed. He says you were without Christ. Oh, this morning, if you are without Christ, make a decision to come into the kingdom of God. Change the company that you are in and be with Christ. And come on his side. Let him come into your boat. Let him come into your emptiness. Let him come into your depression. Let him come into your loneliness. Let him come into the things that you lack, and let him be the source and the provider for your life.
Yes.
How can you be in this wicked world without Christ? I don't even want to imagine it. Without Christ. He says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the wealth of Israel, you are not part of it. Mm-hmm. I want to be a part of it. He says, don't forget. And then he says, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without, again, God in the world. Without. How can you be in this world without God? It's a very sad situation to be in, without hope. Maybe you have been overtaken by hopelessness. Maybe you have been taken over by despair. Maybe you don't know where your next meal is coming from. Maybe you don't know this health situation, what you are going to do with it. It's hopeless. In Christ, you are not without hope. You are not without God. And if you are without God, this moment, right now, if you are watching or if you are listening, or if you are here and you are without hope and without God, I have come to introduce you to the one that can give you hope.
Yeah. Amen.
In this world. In this world. But it all starts with a decision that I will love and serve God. On these two promise, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. I'm settling that question right now. Notice what the Bible says. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, my son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. My son, give me your heart. My son, give me your heart. My son or daughter, give me your heart. That is what I'm looking for. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my way, my ways. The hard question has to be settled. Give me your heart. Where is your heart? Where is your priority? Oh, if you know the value of giving your heart to God, you will do it this very second. You will do it this very moment. When God was looking for a king in Israel, he went after David. The Bible, he describes him as a man after my own heart. Are you seeking to be set on high? Give God your heart. He says, the one who sets his love on him, I will set him high. When he calls, I will answer. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Then everything else will follow. Everything else will take care of itself. Give me your heart. Everybody at the level that they are can give their lives and their heart to God. They can yield their lives to God. Yeah. Where is your heart? Think about it. Give me your heart and I will set you. There was a certain lady when she was very young. She started losing her hearing, and when that happened, she couldn't complete school. So one day, I mean, she was so downcast, and she went into the house of God and gave her life to Christ. And she was so overcome by what God had done in her life. Said, what can I do to give my life to God? She saw her friend giving tithe because that friend had a job. He said, Lord, I don't have any job to give any tithe to you. And then she remembered, you know, I can draw. I'm going to use my talent and give it to God. Whenever the check bulletin is coming out, I'm just going to just do the design for them. And then she entered into a competition and she was recognized for her design that she had done with a bunny ear. She did it in a desire that she would have better hearing. And that design kept going on. And then one day, she started losing her sight, but she said, what else can I do for God? And then she took a mission trip to the Philippines. She went to the Philippines, and when she was there, one of the young children that she was helping and helping said, Mom, you know, what I want to do with my life is I want to be an artist. And she said, wow, I know how to draw. I can help these people, teach them how to draw. She yielded her life to God. Everyone can yield their life to God and say, Lord, my life is in your hands. And from then on, how much more have we done with we that have eyes, ears, legs that can move, everything? But settle that love question. That's the sense. Settle that love question. It's sort of like our youngest son. One day he was in a store with Pastor Paula, and then he saw something that he liked, and he said, Mommy. You get me this particular thing. If you get it for me, I'll buy you everything, anything that you need. I'll buy anything that you need. I'll buy it for you. That's how God does with us sometimes. You give him anything that you need. He doesn't have, if you could buy anything, why don't you buy the thing that you are looking for? Oh, but the sense is that let's make a commitment of our lives to God and to love others that are around us and to show the love. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. People all around us. You talk to them all throughout the week. Share the love of Jesus with them. Amen. Does this help us this morning? As you do that, I see God setting you on high. As you do that, I see God lifting you up. As you do that, I see you entering God's very best for your life. As you do that, I see everything else in life working together for your good. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say, I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. This is a good one to take communion on. Let's prepare our hearts to receive communion. And as we come to the communion table, I want you to be sensitive this morning. During the resurrection service about 2 weeks ago, I was led by the Spirit of God's ministry. I said, there is a healing stream here. There's a healing stream here. And somebody jumped in. He told me after the service, he said, when I stood up, I couldn't walk. There was pain in my legs. But when I stood up, the pain completely left. my body. Hallelujah. To the glory of God. Don't give me credit for it because I didn't know about it. The person told me after the service. But the point is, no matter what the issue is in your life, as we come to the communion table, Jesus paid an ultimate price to deliver you from sin, to deliver you from sickness, to deliver you from poverty. Whatever you are without this morning, I pray that may God restore. And on the other side, he loved us enough to give his life for us. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, be ye followers of God or imitators of God and walk in love and then sacrifice like the way Jesus Christ sacrificed. We get to that point this morning as we come to that communion table and we say, Lord, our lives are yielded to you. You are the boss. You are our Lord. Our life doesn't belong to us. We are only here for a while. And while we are here, we yield and make a commitment, fresh commitment to you, to love you with our very all, with our soul, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with our strength, with our everything, and to love others around us.
We trust your love for God was rekindled as you listen to this timely message. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your app store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.